The race for mayor in Rock Island. What are the top priorities of the two candidates who want to lead one of the biggest communities in the cities? Businessman Mike Tomes was elected 4 years ago to lead Rock Island. Thurgood Brooks is a Rock Island native, community organizer, and athletics coach, but may be best known as a co-founder of the group The Resolution, which was created to support police reforms in the city. We talked with both candidates about the top issues, but we started with one simple question. So why are you running for mayor again?
You know, I want to continue the process that we've been going through. We've had real good success these last 4 years, making progress with more revenue coming in, new jobs. And I really want to see those issues grow, continue to grow. And I want to finish a few projects, like the property down 11th Street, like revitalization of downtown. So I want to see those through.
We asked the same question of Thurgood Brooks. So why are you running for mayor? Why is the time now?
What better time than now, Jim? I've been invested in my community since dad and born, but really heavily invested since I've been back home from school over the past almost 6 years now. And simply put, Jim, I'm the best person for the job at this point. I'm the only candidate in this race that believes genuinely in the need for our city to grow. And what we're going to grow is by tapping in and actually reaching out to partners that are beyond ourselves. And I don't believe that's been going on. I don't believe we've been transparent. I don't think we've been inclusive. And honestly, Jim, I don't think we have a vision from our current mayor. And it's important to have a vision to where you want to go. And we have that. It's on my website. I've been clear about it. And in fact, I've been so clear that my opponent himself has started to repeat some things that my team and I have been clear on since day one. And so it's just a matter of putting somebody in the space, in that mayor's chair, who's going to work with all Rock Islanders and not leave any portion or segment of Rock Island and Rock Islanders outside of the loop. Because ultimately, Jim, the only way we're going to see Rock Island reach its full potential will be by servicing and working with all Rock Islanders, because all Rock Islanders have potential that we need to tap into.
And today, we start with the challenger, Thurgood Brooks, who's making his first run for citywide office. So Thurgood Brooks, what are your priorities for 2021? Because 2020 was a tough year in Rock Island and every city. What do you want to see in 2021?
I want to see us start working toward actual items that affect all Rock Islanders and ones that they know about. And so I do have a 100-day plan, Jim. It's on my website. It's on my social media. And the start of my 100-day plan, I really want to work with the city council to remove the sale of the water off our agenda. That's number one. I believe it's irresponsible for public servants to give some of the release the responsibilities of providing services to a for-profit company that will ultimately leave most Rock Islanders, and I believe all Rock Islanders, out of the loop again, and potentially paying more for a service that we all need. And I'll continue with that as well. We got to bring some inclusion to the city hall. Too many Rock Islanders I spoke to, whether it's door knocking, from meet and greets, they don't understand what's going on down there. And in fact, if you visit our website, the city website, it's not transparent. It's not telling what's going on and why we're doing certain things. And Rock Islanders need to know, because we're smart enough and we're engaged enough or prideful enough behind Rock Island that when we understand what's really going on, I believe in my team, my 21-person team behind our campaign shows that when Rock Islanders know what's going on, they're willing to invest their time and energies to ensure that we're moving forward in one common goal. And so I want to bring some transparency and some inclusion beyond the water. I want to create a mayoral advisory board that will rotate and have citizens from all wards of Rock Island. I want to work form a community relations commission. And I also want to build partnerships with our trades and our school district. We don't have a partnership with our school district currently, Jim. And that's an essential element to us getting out of this COVID, because we're going to need to tap into what we have here at home already to lean on them, and they'll need to lean on us to get us out. We're not going to do this alone. And so the partnership that I look forward to building with our unions, our schools, and our small businesses, and seeking more than the traditional partners that have been sought out is going to be critical, once again, to ensuring that we come through this and we reach our potential.
You are best known, of course, for being one of the co-creators of a group that's trying to improve police actions in Rock Island. Do you think you've been successful in that area? And how does that help you if you become mayor?
I do think we have some success already with that. We have some success working with our state legislators. Even some of our legislators at city level, at least, especially Moline. We had a suspend talks with Rock Island back in September. Due to the current mayor and the leadership there, the city manager, not willing to pursue actual items until we're on the front page of the paper, is when they circle back to us to begin to at least look at and say that they want to work toward the very things we said we knew we can work with them on months before I was on the front page of that paper. And so I look forward to working with all citizens, which I don't believe is happening currently, and moving forward. Behind police reform, because ultimately, Jim, I'm gonna be very clear here. I'm not anti-police. I'm not a defund the police camp. I have family members who are police officers. So the idea or notion that I want to create a space where they are unsafe is insulting to me, to be quite frank. What I will look forward to doing is bridging the gap, because I have my own lived experiences that are not friendly, so to speak, with policing, but also have others. So I want to bridge the gap between my community and the policing to start build some trust. And that's why that commission I want to build, the community commission, is going to be so vital, as well as looking to work with police officers in their training to do more community work, not volunteer, and it won't be overtime hours, community work within the training hours to get to know the community, whether it's coaching a Little League team or teaching them the piano. We're going to ensure that the Rock Islanders know the police officers, the police officers know the Rock Islander the best way they can, and that's how we're going to have reform. By really getting to know the people whom which we're policing and working with.
One of the areas that I'm sure that you're most interested in is the district, the downtown area. There's need for revitalization. Do you think it's got a bad reputation as far as crime or safety is concerned?
I do. I think that goes along with Rock Island. We don't tell our story. I've been very clear in my campaign all along. We need to brag about Rock Island. I think there's a lot of brag about, and our current administration doesn't do that. You look at our website again, you can look at over the past four years, even before that, we're not tapping into and telling the story of Rock Island. If it weren't for myself and my campaign, you would not know that Rock Island High School has the most National Merit Honor Scholars to come through Rock Island High School or Rock Island School District in the Quad Cities. You wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know about the businesses that we do have here, how well they work with Rock Islanders, whether it's community projects or whatever it may be. We have a lot of greatness that lies here. But too oftentimes, in all the mediums or media formats, Rock Island gets a bad rep. And I believe because we're not tapping to our greatest asset, which is our diversity. And we're allowing other people to tell the story of our diversity. And oftentimes that diversity is seen as a way in which people would like to say, don't go over there. And so we're gonna flip that script, and we're gonna embrace our diversity, and we're gonna tell our story, and people will begin to travel to Rock Island and come through Rock Island, because we will be known as a place, and a spot where diversity is welcome. And if you notice, Jim, people travel and they spend monies in places where there's diverse cultures and things to do. So we're gonna embrace that here at Rock Island to make sure that our economic development is in full attack.
Economic development as well as retail development, because you look over at Moline and you see a whole lot of retail taxes coming in from, you know, the mall and big box stores and everything that's being developed there. How do you hope Rock Island can improve its retail business?
Well, we don't have any anchor here, Jim. We have to get an anchor. We look at 11th Street and the debacle of the quote-unquote Walmart. We have ample space there. But what is our current leadership doing to actively engage and pursue what could be done there? From everything we've gathered, from meeting with our city manager who's currently there, and even meet with the leadership that's currently there, their form of actively engaging in economic development seems to be accepting phone calls. And I would argue that's not actively engaging in development. We're gonna actively pursue more partners. And what I believe we can do, Jim, is work toward a sports complex center, a state-of-the-art one in that area. And what that would do, Jim, that will start, you start to see what I believe more small business pop up. You see another Pee Wees. You see another Igors. You see another Miss Romania. And you see another Theo's or Wake Coffee, because we have an anchor and traffic flow for things people to go to. We also can look into, with our partnerships, working toward a trade school, which will mean people have to come here and convene here. And then when they're in this schooling or they're doing this or whatever they're doing there, they got to eat and they may need a shop. And so now we'll see more things grow because something is there to draw the traffic and the attention of people.
It seems like the key to your administration would be more inclusivity, I should say, getting more people involved. How would you do that? How would you go about doing that?
My record is for itself, Jim. And in fact, this is a stark difference between myself and my opponent. Example being, there's about 26 boards and commissions in Rock Island City. The mayor had direct influence over who is appointed to those commissions, and the city council approves. Rock Island has about 30% minorities, right? And that's people of color and women, right? But roughly, I believe it's roughly 9% or 12% of minorities make up these boards and commissions, okay? And a lot of decisions are made, a lot of monies are given out, a lot of opportunities are given out throughout these commissions. So I look forward to engaging more people beyond the know. It seems like, Jim, you have to know, and that's wrong. We need to provide access to people who may not know, but are willing to understand and willing to work and want to grow, give them access and ability to understand what we have and what we're pursuing, so that way the same people are not reaping the benefits of the tax base and the incentives that all Rock Islanders should be involved in. And so, as I said, as a coach, Jim, as working as a family advocate, as me being having formed two community organizations, which are founded upon diversity, and having hundreds of volunteers under my leadership on an annual and whatever basis we're doing as far as our organization, it speaks to my ability to be diverse, as well as, Jim, I might add, my team. I have a 21-person team behind this campaign. Rock Islanders, they're very diverse, from age, sex, race, ideologies, professions, from correctional officers to pastors to everything you can name, Jim. I did my best to include all of Rock Island the best I could, so that way the perspective and the vision, because we're the only one with a vision, is inclusive, and it's one that will help us grow.
One of the big issues right now involves the city water system, which is municipally owned. The council looking at perhaps Illinois American Water Company taking over. It's not a signed deal, but they're just looking to find out if private ownership is better. What's your opinion about private ownership? Not necessarily this deal, but just the idea of Rock Island not being in the water business anymore.
I think it's irresponsible of our leadership and our mayor currently to even investigate it. Investigate means you're looking at. And so it's, I believe it's an oxymoron, if I may, if I say, Jim, for you to say you're investigating, but you're against. We gotta be clear. I'm against the sale of water because, as I said before, it's a service. And if we're not gonna be providing that service to people, we run the risk of a for-profit company who's in the business of making money, and that's okay, that's America. We have business who make money, and that's their prerogative, and that's what makes us great. But there's no need for a natural resource such as water. Everybody needs water. Everybody who bleeds red needs water. And if we're going to be lack creativity and boldness to really understand what other options we have there and just simply say, well, let's pursue selling our water, what else are we going to do? It seems like when things get tough for my opponent, we look to sell.
Rock Island mayoral candidate Thurgood Brooks. He's challenging Mike Toombs, who 4 years ago became Rock Island's mayor. He's running for re-election to a second term. What are your biggest priorities right now for 2021? Because 2020 was a pretty tough year.
You know, 2020 was a tough year, and it was not just tough financially, but it was just unusual. You had to pull out and create your own playbook, so to speak. And so that was it was a good challenge, but I hope not to ever do that again.
Do you have major priorities now in 2021 that you weren't able to accomplish, I should say, last year?
Yeah, you know, I'll say the major priority is to increase our revenue. We need to continue to bring new businesses to town and then help the existing ones grow. Typically about 80% of your growth comes from the businesses that are already in town. And so we want to help them grow and create new jobs, work on the economy, which then brings the value of properties up, which then people spend more money. They have more disposable income. But then new businesses to bring in a new sales tax and new property tax, because we need that for sustainability in the long run. As they say, you can't buy your way out of this. You need to build your way out of it. So we need to prioritize economic development almost over anything else. Now, that could be in housing also. And that could be in affordable housing. Quality affordable housing is very important, along with just market rate. So we need to work on all of those avenues it would be prioritizing. And then clear up a few things that we've left. I'll say this last year with, as an example, not to ramble on, but, and I think it might be a question that usually comes up, but the water and sewer issue, get those type of things settled, which probably will not happen, so.
Well, let me add on to, because you were talking earlier about the fact that you want to have a way to keep businesses prospering and growing in the area. How does the city do that, though? I mean, every city wants that.
You're right. So you're competing with everybody. So that's what you got to do is find out what the sweet spots are. Is it small? It's probably a combination of all above, but small, independent, or medium-sized businesses, finding entrepreneurs and being able to help incentivize them to pick Rock Island. You've got it, once again, revitalization of downtown is an example. You've got to make the curb appeal there so you get foot traffic. So then those people see, hey, I want to be there. I want to open my business there. Same thing with 11th Street. So it's got a combination of financial incentives, a combination of ordinances or laws that are friendly to businesses. We need to make sure that we have those correct. Construction, how do we inspect the standards for construction? We want to keep them solid. We want to keep them safe. But yet we want to keep it so they can afford to add on or build new buildings.
Let's talk about the district for a second. It, of course, for people who don't know, it's an entertainment and business section of the downtown that's been called the district for, what, about 30 years right now. Is it getting a bad rap now? Is it getting a bad reputation?
You know, I'll say that since the 80s, which I built, I think some of it's always been there. People have looked at it as the stepchild, or, boy, I don't know if it's safe there, or I'm going to go there at the end of the day, or whatever it is. So it's had that for quite a while. But, yes, there's no doubt it's gotten worse this last couple of years, and unjustifiably. It is a very safe place to go. Have we had a few instances? Yes, but every city's had those. But day in, day out, it's a very safe place to go. But it's tired. It needs a facelift. It needs revitalization. And that's exactly what we're going to do. The city has committed $1.5 million for infrastructure type projects. We've committed to hiring a downtown manager to work with the business owners and building owners to make sure that their properties, they can get them fixed up, new facades, renovate insides, help maintain the outsides. So we need to build those relationships. So that's what we're doing. We're going to basically revitalize, recreate the downtown area and try to get rid of that image that we don't deserve.
As you know, Rock Island is so hungry for retail tax money, retail revenue, that you see, you know, a mall that's in Moline, or you see some of the businesses and the big box stores in Davenport. Is that still a major push for Rock Island, is to get more retail air and then get more retail revenue in?
You know, yes, it is. It's always a push. Unfortunately, that, especially after this last year, that industry has really changed. And so we got to figure out how much has changed to what has changed. You know, there's a lot, number of them that have found e-commerce to be the answer and not brick and mortar. And so there's no doubt we're going to have to emphasize and work with small and medium-sized business, new startups, entrepreneurs. And so that'll help. Unfortunately, that doesn't bring in large dollars, which we need. We need some new dollars. And we need a large amount to cover the expenses that are going up. And so we're going to still have to try to attract, and I hate to say a big box, but something larger that can draw the number of people and or bring us retail sales tax. You know, could we put a sports complex on 11th Street? In and itself will draw some retail sales tax, but it'll draw traffic, which then spurs on other developments for retail.
As you know, your opponent is well known for trying to organize a police reform group. How important do you think it is over the last year and a half that Rock Island does lead in the area of police reform? Or do you think it is even needed?
You know, I think there are some changes that needed, whether you call it reform or not. We need to prioritize in getting our police force back up to full staff. We're short a number of officers right now. And we need to, I'll say, continue. We were doing some community policing. We were making some great strides in that area. And we need to continue that and maybe make some changes or tweak it. There's no doubt about it. You know, I think it makes a big difference when the police officers are ingrained in working in the communities that they police. So whether they're out playing basketball, and you can come up with a lot of different scenarios, or just talking to the individuals in the neighborhoods, makes a big difference. You know, an organization called CCC, Community Caring Conference, Amitra Carroll's project, we help fund that. And she has Black parties throughout the city. And we've gotten involved with those, whether it be with a dunk tank, whether it be just socializing, whether it be letting the kids play in a squad car or fire truck. That type of community policing is very, very important. And we've been very active in that. And I think we, once again, continue that. And can we expand on those thoughts throughout the whole city? Not just concentrate in one area. So that's the difference we need to make. Those are the things that we need to continue working on more than I'd call it reform. A lot of the things that this new bill came across, we had some of those things, those processes in place already. It wasn't a big difference for us.
You had brought up earlier in regards to the sale of the Rock Island Municipal Water System to Illinois American Water, a private firm. You don't think that's going to happen?
My personal opinion is it's not. I can't say that I've been a real strong supporter of it by any means. But, you know, we do it through goal setting annually. And we talk about it as a council and staff. We talk about a lot of different topics. And this one came up, and it was unanimous. All seven council members. Once again, that's all that we have, a total of seven council members. All of them had voted to investigate it, not do it, but investigate it. As we've all learned as it goes, and our parents have taught us that what maturity does for us. And what we want to do here is investigate and make intelligent decisions. I don't think this type of a thought or discussion should happen without the facts. And that's what we need to do, is draw in the facts and find out what they are. American Water's got some good reputation out there in some areas, and some bad in some areas. But you know, interesting enough, American Water's the one doing the due diligence. They may not be, or would not be, the one that city council would choose. There are many companies out there that do this, just the same thing as American Water. We would have to put it out for bid. And so we don't know who the bidder would be. Even if, and I emphasize, even if we were to even put that, go that far. I don't think it's gonna go that far, but and really my gut is telling me at this point, we shouldn't do it. But at the same token is, we have to have the facts. We need to make educated decisions. That's what maturity brings.
You were talking about the downtown area, and I know that it is county property, not city property, but the county courthouse is at the entryway of the Centennial Bridge. It is one of the first things that people coming into Rock Island see. It's either going to be torn down or perhaps it could be preserved. It doesn't sound like preservation is going to happen. What do you want to see with that building?
You know, at this point, and you know, we try to stay neutral on it because we try not to get in somebody else's sandbox when, you know, with other municipalities or public entities. But it is an eyesore as it sits now. So I guess what I've always encouraged the county is, you know, take a stance, tear it down or sell it and let a developer develop it and put it on the property tax rolls. There's no doubt it would help to have on the property tax rolls. It would bring jobs. It would help a lot of different businesses downtown. But if the county chooses not to do that, which is their choice, then tear it down because it looks terrible the way it is. There's no doubt about that. It is the interest of the city. We would like to have a say-so of what's there or what it looks like, because we have to live and work with whatever building they put up if they put another building. Could be green grass forever. It could be another building. And we wish to see how that's, we'd like to know how that's going to look, if it is, to make sure it's a welcoming site or exit example of what City of Rock Island is about. But We need to, it's time to make a move.
It is, you know, it is important to point out that Rock Island is the county seat of Rock Island County, of course. And so those buildings, the government property, you get no tax revenue from that, right?
That is correct. We do not get any from that one or like the post office that's down here. Interesting you bring that up is that the federal government's wanting to build or renovate a building to put a new federal courthouse in. They've taken the attitude is they are going to have a private developer develop it so it does pay property taxes. The federal government would lease it, rent it from this private developer, which puts it on the property tax rolls. Their specs call it for to be downtown Rock Island. And it's about a $20 to $25 million building with 7-8 different federal agencies located inside that building. So we are looking forward to that happening someplace downtown Rock Island in the near future.
You're obviously optimistic for 2021.
Yes, I am. We are going to do great things. I think that we're going to continue growing. You know, we had $70 million worth of investment last year in a COVID year. There was $70 million of private money invested in the city of Rock Island in a COVID year. That's not too bad for Rock Island.
Rock Island Mayor Mike Tomes and challenger Thurgood Brooks. Early voting is going on right now throughout Rock Island County for all the major offices with contested races in the April 6th general election. So make sure you get out and vote because as you've seen time and again, your vote really does count, particularly on the local level. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.